Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Amen. It is a great privilege being here. I know quite a few of you, a lot of you came from Grace Church Southern Pines to help launch Reach. So I see quite a few in the room, and you're still with us all these many years later. Amen. I am excited to see you guys get a building here. A lot of churches you plant in the city, there's older buildings or places to use. This is a town that's growing faster than the buildings that are available. And so, praise God, you guys are being able to build one. So, today I have a message that I prepared, and for those that know me, I can give that message as well, and I will, but I want to be as sensitive to what God wants to speak as well as deliver the message. So, I am going to put a timer here, which means nothing. He's always, Randy, please, give it. Don't go too long. I do want to provide a timer, but when my timer goes off, I want to have enough to where we have a little bit of time to pray and respond. Is that okay? And so, one of the things that I found in the Christian life is this: if you take time, let me go ahead and start this thing. If you take time to cultivate a personal relationship, there's a difference between, I believe salvation comes through trusting in Christ alone. But you can have Christ as your Savior, but never come into all the what God has for you. The what God has for you. And how you come into the what God has for you as you cultivate a deep relationship with Him and learn how to hear His voice on a fairly consistent basis. And if you learn how to hear from God on a consistent basis, where you're comfortable with when God speaks to you, and you'll do what He tells you, I will tell you, without question, you will see amazing answers to prayer, signs and wonders, and miracles. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Amen? I believe God wants to ignite a fire again in some of us. Some of us, I think our flames kind of worn down over seasons of longevity, and we've almost become religious. We could almost walk into church, and if someone raises their hand or says something funny or does something, it's like, I'm going to find another church. But God's not interested in that. God's interested in you walking out your destiny. So today's message is about rediscovering and knowing God's call and His destiny for you. How many of you remember the Forrest Gump movie? And young Forrest, his mom is sick and she's going to die. And they start talking about destiny. And Forrest goes, "Mama, what's my destiny?" And she goes, "Guys, someone tell me. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest, only you can discover your destiny." Guys, do you think God wants you to know His destiny and His will for your life? That's what He created you for. So we want to unlock that today. And I also want to speak to some where I kind of feel like you've almost put that on the shelf. And trust has been eroded in your heart. And I felt like God's saying, it's time to trust me again. And it's time to seek me again fresh and believe that I am the God of miracles and that you need to just rest in me and trust me. Can I get an amen? I mean, you guys are going to have to help me today. I can't see most of you in the back. You're just little spots. So I'm a engagement. On the way here, we have a technology on our phones now. that you punch in a destination, what is it called? And this little machine helps me to get where I want to go. It's, what is it called? GPS. And so I believe Christians have a GPS. It's called God's providence system at work. Amen? And when you punch in the destination, you punch in where you're leaving, it sets a course. And how many times, you know, it gives you course A, course B, and you can follow those. But what happens when you get off course? What does your little GPS say? Rerouting. And one of the cool things is you can get way off course, and it's rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Amen? How many of you know God is a loving God? And many of us have been getting rerouted and rerouted and rerouted. Amen? Now, that's great because God doesn't give up on us. What's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Now, one's in the NIV is the Holy Spirit. In the King James Version, it's the Holy Ghost. What's the difference? They're the same thing. They're absolutely. It's just a grammatical play on words. The Holy Spirit's what comes in you when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is what haunts you when you walk away from God. And he's going to go, keep going, rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. So can we get an amen? Are we tracking with me so far? Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, no eye has seen nor ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart, the mind of a person, of the things that God has for them. How many of us believe that's for you? Or sometimes we say that's for somebody else, but it's not me, because that's not been my experience. And I want to challenge us again that God has so much more for us. God created us with a destiny, and the only way that you can experience all that God has for you is to embrace God's will for your life that he created you for. And when you're in line with what God's will is for your life, you will experience a satisfaction that goes beyond imagination. You can have a job for that you know that God's called you to, a relationship God has called you to, where God gives you direction, he gives you the provision and the blessing. And there's what we call fog. The favor of God starts falling on your life. And so God wants you to experience more. He wants you to experience happiness. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to experience life. Life abundantly. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. But Satan comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Whenever you're walking with God, there's like this compete. It's like a train track. God has a plan for your life, that you might have life and life abundantly. Satan has a plan for your life to kill, steal, and destroy. And when you give Satan room, he will come in like a flood. And many times he tries to take you down a track that you're not intended to live. And on that track with Satan, sin for a season's fun, but the wages of sin is what? Death. So it does not bring lasting satisfaction. When you're walking in God's will, you will experience fog, the favor of God. One of the deepest questions every believer wrestles with, what is God's will for my life? God doesn't just save us from something, sin, death, hell. He saves us for something, his purpose, his destiny. In Romans 11, verses 29, it says, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. His gifts, his call are irrevocable. When you trust in Christ as your Savior, first of all, God's the one who brought you to that point, and he gave you the free gift of eternal life. But it says that God's gift and his call, in other words, There are gifts that God gives you that you were uniquely given before you were ever born, and there is a call and a destiny on your life. And what happens is we all have to learn to find out what are those gifts that God's given us and the call that he has for us. And when we, again, align our life with his will, God, you will see God's favor. You will see answers to prayer. You will see unimaginable things. And it's that train track is always there. There's that competing thing to keep you off course, but God's constantly GPS saying rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. We all know that we're going to die. Now, medical science is trying to keep us alive longer. People are living much longer than they did 50 years ago, 100 years ago. The average age of a man 100 years ago was 46 years, middle age. We think that's just getting started. Amen? Amen. I'm just... He turned the big 5-0. Not yet. Couple days. So, we're all going to die, and there's two questions. We're going to stand, there's two judgments in heaven. There's what they call the Great Judgment and the Bema Judgment of Christ. Now, the first judgment is you're going to die, and that day you're going to stand before God, and He's going to say, there's two questions. Question number one is, why should I let you into my heaven? The wrong answer is, I went to Reach Church and listened to Heath Cadell. Man, he was an amazing pastor. Wrong answer. Right answer is this. I was a sinner, and I sinned against God, and I walked away from God. And then I heard Pastor Heath preach, Jesus loves me no matter who I am, what I've done. And I trusted what the Bible said, is that God saves sinners. And I trust in Christ alone to forgive my sins and to give me the free gift. Everybody say free? The free gift of eternal life. That means you can't earn it or deserve it. God says, come in, my son, my daughter, welcome into heaven. And then there's what they call the Bema Judgment of Christ. Now, you're already in heaven. Salvation, eternity is yours. The second, what they call the Bema Judgment of Christ, is God's going to say, Romans 11:29, I gave you a gift, I gave you gifts, and I gave you a call from God that I created you for, a purpose and a destiny. What did you do with what I gave you? The wrong answer is, I trusted in Heath Cadell and this amazing Reach Church to do ministry, and I just attended. I even gave him a little bit every once in a while. Wrong answer. Now, do you get kicked out of heaven? No. But what could be yours, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. All of us want to hear the words, well, thy good and faithful servant. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to go through some difficulties. I remember when God told us to start Grace Church in Southern Pines. I had just graduated from Bible college. And back then, we didn't know how to do church planning so well. So we were sent out from the Manna Church in Fayetteville with 5 adults. My wife, another family, and a single girl, and 5 children, and $300, and go start a church. So I thought, surely God's going to start this church. It's going to explode. I'm going to be able to quit UPS while I was working at UPS going through Bible college. And I remember 10 years into it, working two full-time jobs for 13 years, I was exhausted. And I just had gotten to the place where I said, God, I can't do this anymore. And I remember in that season, we were under 100. We do 50, 75, 90 people. And I was talking to God, actually complaining. And I told God, I said, God, I can't do this anymore. And the Lord just spoke to me. He didn't correct me. He just said, Randy, there'll be a day when Grace Church is 4,000 men. And I'm going, Lord, that's kind of tough because I've got 35 men after 10 years. Now, how many of you know God sometimes is more interested in our character and our faithfulness than is in our success? Amen? So, right after that, God began to just speak to me, Randy, I didn't call you to start a church. I called you to fill the city with Jesus. I said, Lord, I thought that's what I was doing. And so God had me, like Heath prayed for other churches. Well, it was a white church, it was a black church. The church was divided. None of the Christians did anything together. There was a pastor's group, but you could go there and not even hear the name Jesus. You know, it was like, yeah. Did you get that? Yeah. And it was religious. And God says, Randy, I've called you to take the city, to fill the city with Jesus. And so what we did is we started praying together. We started repenting of the sins in our community. One of our community is a fairly wealthy community, parts of it. And you had the people that had lots of money. And so our city funded a lot of the drug traffic on the whole entire Middle East Coast. And our little town, yes. And so we started repenting of the sins. We started repenting of the racism. And we started seeing God break down walls of separation. There were multiple churches just like Grace. We couldn't grow past 100 people. And when God's people started coming together in prayer, we started repenting of sins. We started focusing on reaching the city, not just building our church. We started equipping the saints to do the ministry, not just a handful of people doing the ministry. What was it that caused Grace Church to grow? I don't know. It was a multitude of things. When we stopped building our church and started building God's church, God blessed our church. Guys, this Easter, we had 4,300 people in attendance and 1,700 people online. Now, it's not hard today to believe that there'll be 4,000 men someday, but when you had 35 men for 10 years and you just labor being faithful with what God had given us, there's that little parable that says that when you have two talents and you're faithful with it, God increases your talents with four talents or five talents, and the person that was faithful with five talents doubles it and is given to the one who had 10 talents. But it also has the one who took his talent and hid his talent, his gifts and his call, and just kept it to himself and says, I knew you were a harsh taskmaster. Harsh taskmaster. Get it up. Okay. Then he says, you wicked slave, I gave you one talent. If you had just taken I gave you and quit comparing it to what other people have and just be faithful what I created you to be, I will be increased. I have not heard nor entered into the heart. I have not seen, ear heard, nor entered into the heart of the man things that God has prepared for them that love him. I really believe where we are in the spiritual realm is we're on the precipice of one of the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. God told me to give my church of 4,300 people 3,000 average attendance and say, I want you to go start spending time with more pastors, more leaders, and prepare for what I'm getting to do around the world. Guys, we're in a season when we need to expedite what God is doing. We're in a season, and if I was to tell you, thus says the Lord for this congregation, is that God is speaking to people to step out of their comfort zone to discover their destiny and respond to what God's called them to be and enter a season, first of all, of rest, trusting that God knows what he's doing, but then the next thing is preparing and beginning to launch in preparation for what not only is he going to do in this city, in this church, but what God is doing in the world. I'm alive today. I've been walking with Jesus. I looked it up this morning, over 51 years. 51 years ago, I was birthed, as many of you were, in what we call the Jesus movement, when across America, thousands upon thousands and thousands of young people at that time in their early 20s, young teenagers, college students started coming to Jesus, called the Jesus movement. But thousands of people's church growth exploded. And God shifted the whole way church is done. Right now, I think we're entering a season when we're going to see the Jesus movement. You're seeing revivals breaking out in college campuses. You're seeing 5, 10,000. You're seeing, you don't see it in the news, but there's a major, massive move of the Holy Spirit in the underground church in China. We've heard that one. But guys, right now, in Iran, Pakistan, the Middle East, 4 or 5 years ago, we were over in Dubai out in the desert with a church, house church leader. Back then, he had 17,000 house churches. One of the guys that was there with us, he had seven brothers. Six of them had been martyred for their faith, and the one that was not there was missing, and they were worried that he had been found out as well. The reason the underground church doesn't want America to know what's going on is because we Americans love to post everything on Facebook and social media, and the people that are, a lot of it's Muslim terrorists, they find out about it, and they love people to post stuff on social media, and they go kill them. We had a whole group of pastors who were former Taliban leaders, had come to Christ, brought them into a garage. Man, I'm not even touching my notes. Brought them into a garage, and were training them to go lead house church movements. But because, and we're right on the edge of Fort Bragg, but a lot of our military tracked those Taliban leaders. And what we did is Americans, we dropped a bomb and killed them all. Guys, that's why you don't post stuff. But right now, what's going on in the world, all this stuff, even in the Middle East, is some of the most amazing things. Guys, more biblical prophecies have happened in my life in 51 years. The nation of Israel becoming a nation in one day. The gospel literally in 20 years ago, before the Joshua Project, the 1040 window, thousands upon thousands of nations did not have a Bible in their language, did not have the gospel presentation in their language. Now with the advancement of technology, the Wycliffe Bible translators, the gospel has gone into almost every known language group. It says in the last day, the gospel will be preached in every nation. The word nation there is ethnos. Now, I need to get back. I have a lot to say. God's on the move. This is a serious season that we need not be comfortable. This is a season when God is calling people to arise and begin to prepare. Because if the Holy Spirit is poured out on America, and your church saw double growth, quadruple growth, like in the early 70s. How many of you came to Chris Lanning, when did you come? Back in that day? Did you guys come to when? So some of you guys are old like me, you know. But guys, the gospel will be preached right now. When Charlie Kirk got assassinated, do you know that people all over the world through the internet on their iPhone watched Charlie Kirk's funeral and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ translated in just about every known language, those that allowed access through the internet? More people probably heard the gospel on that day than in a Billy Graham crusade, where thousands of people came to Christ. Now let's get back to the sermon. Okay. The question for you, do you know the gifts and the call of God on your life? Are you preparing for that? Are you using those gifts? Are you being a good steward of what God's given you? Part of the gifts is I want to call shape. This comes from Rick Warren. Your spiritual gifts, your heart, things that God's given you a passion about. Abilities, you know. You know my first sermon that I had to preach, and I went through Bible college. God told me to start Grace Church. And my first sermon, actually it was my second sermon, I preached on a Wednesday night at a small church when I was in Bible college. And we had to do little practice sermons in Bible college. But my real first sermon that I ever preached on a Sunday morning was the day I started Grace Church. Now, either I was dumb or I just was obedient. Probably both. Right? That's maybe why it took us 10 years to get past 35 people. Shape, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. I say God doesn't waste a shame. God doesn't waste a pain. God takes all those things, those unique experiences, and uses them. key truth here is God doesn't just save us from something, sin, death, and hell. He saves us for something, His purpose and His destiny. So what does God want to do with you? God's going to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? And if you're here and you've never received or trusted in Christ alone as your Savior, at the end of the service, Mr. Heath will make sure you have an opportunity to pray and receive Christ. But I guess the bigger question for a church like this, you guys are an amazing church. I work with churches all over. This is an amazing, healthy, godly, mature church. What are you doing with what God's called you as a church and you as an individual to do? You know, when you speak of the churches in Revelation, I have this against you, you know, like you. Who's he speaking to? The church of Laodicea, the church of Sardis. He was speaking to the church local, the church in the city, and he says, I have this against you. What is the? Do you think God's going to hold this church accountable to fulfill the call and destiny? Amen. So let's look at some people in the Bible, and does God call them? How many remember the story, Exodus chapter 3? How many remember the story of Moses, right? You know, so how did Moses begin? Persecution in Egypt, kill all the babies. Moses is put in a little basket, and he ends up in Pharaoh's daughter's tutelage, adopted, raised in the house of Pharaoh. By the way, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So it took some preparation, right? Moses had a sense, even as a young man, that there was some kind of call to deliver God's people as a young man. He sensed it in his life. I think that all of us, even as a young child, started to experience in some of the destiny through shape, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experiences. Sometimes your experiences are tragedies, but God uses those tragedies to form us. Moses is raised, starts seeing Egyptians abusing Israelites, and he rises up and kills one, thinking nobody saw him, and he has to flee. So one, he's hated by his own people, and then he's hated by the Egyptians, and then he does what? For the next 40 years, he walks around the desert. And then one day, out there's a shepherd, like the gifts and call of God. What's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit comes into you when you're born again. The Holy Ghost is going to haunt you until you respond to what God's called you to do. So Moses is up there. He sees this call to go up the mountain. He experiences this burning bush that doesn't burn up. But and God calls him. He says, Moses, take your shoes off. What you're doing is walking on holy ground. In other words, you're stepping into what I've called you to be and do. He says, I've called you to set my people free. I wonder if Moses, every year, walking around that same mountain, didn't hear the words, come up here, Moses. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, Moses, come up here. No, God, I tried, it didn't work. I'm mad at you. I'm in a desert. I was a prince of Egypt. Somebody better. Well, we need to get started. Moses at age 80 surrendered. Can everybody say 80? Is it, you don't retire, you what? Moses at age 80 became one of the most godly examples of a man who went against who he was to do what God had called him to be. The Old Testament is full of people that you look at, even as a young boy. Let's look at, just name some people. Samuel, as a young boy. His mom abandons him, gives him to a bunch of men to raise him as a priest. Learns how to hear from God. Young King Saul, called out, set apart for God's purposes. Moses, David. David, had God prepared David to be king? He was the shepherd of Israel. He was the leader of Israel. He was a warrior. Had God, from early birth to the time, David had to run from Saul for 13 years just to stay alive. What was God doing? God was more interested in his character than he was in his success. Amen? young David, Samson, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my purposes. Who am I that God would choose me? 1 Corinthians 1:26. I'm jumping ahead, guys. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. In other words, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, God said, I've called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. See, what I believe, if I was to say the word of the Lord, is God right now is like when Jeremiah, my son, Jonathan, was a youth pastor. And when he was in college, we started a church up in Boone at App State where Heath went to school. And one day I got a phone call from Jonathan, and he said, Dad, I think I found the one. And I says, tell me about her. She's the most beautiful girl at App State. I met her on a bus. And I knew at that moment she was the one. So I went up there to meet this little girl who had started coming to his little church that he had started. He had about 100 kids that had started coming, gotten baptized. And she says, she Randy, and she called me, and she says, maybe you can help me. I have a little ministry that I call Almond Branch. She said, but God gave me this verse out of Jeremiah about this almond branch. And she says, but I've talked to pastors, and nobody understands what it means for me and why God gave me that verse. So I did a little research, and basically it was this. God's called you into the ministry. Jeremiah, you say you can't speak, and God says, I don't really care a rip. Be quiet. And God says, Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to the nations. And I knew at that time that little girl who I just met was going to be my daughter-in-law. My first son-in-law, Chris and Eileen would know them. There was a lady named Loretta Kaufman at our church. She was a school teacher, retired, she refired. She and her husband devoted themselves to doing visitor follow-up and Titus 2 and just gave their lives in their senior years to doing God's work. One day she walked back to my office. She says, hey, you want to meet your future son-in-law? I said, what? She says, yeah. I was sitting at the front desk. God says, Randy, that's Randy's son-in-law. So I went out, met this redheaded tennis player. His name's Ryan Peterson. He's now the lead pastor of Grace Church. And so I started getting to know him, mentoring him, discipling him, and he ended up leaving the tennis profession, became a pastor, and now leads a church of multiple thousands of people. My second son-in-law, I was walking through the lobby one day, and sound booth back there, not lobby, but one of our rooms, and God says, that's your son-in-law. So I walked back, and I said, what's your name? And he says, my name's A.J. Catucci. I said, well, tell me about you. And he said, well, I'm a golf pro at Pinehurst, and your son invited me to church, and, you know, I've known the Lord, but here at Grace, I've really found Christ. And I said, let me get to know you. Now, he's my son-in-law, and they're in Florida with their second on the way. And so when you walk with God, God speaks. How many of you know God speaks all the time? So we do want to provide time for prayer. In Isaiah 43:18-19, just about somebody being called by God. Isaiah says he went into the temple. The presence of God was in the temple so strong that a conviction for sin consumed him. And then he heard the words of the Lord saying, who will go on my behalf? Who will be a person who responds to my will? Isaiah's so overwhelmed that he feels like I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. God, how could you ever use me? If any of you ever felt like, how can God ever use me? The other one is God, how can God ever use me if anybody knew what I had done? How many of you know Moses killed people? David did the few stupid things, did God use them in spite of it? Isaiah knew, just like everybody else had known, Moses and David, and all the people we see, Saul of Tarsus, you see, there's that something in you that says, surrender and follow me and seek me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. How many of you know God wants you to discover your destiny? But it always starts with a decision. And what Isaiah did is when he became totally undone, as the word is appropriate, he became undone. He responded and he says, Lord, if it's not too late, here am I, send me. I believe if I was to give a prophetic word to this church, to you specifically, God says, I'm rerouting, and I'm bringing you back to the place of surrender to me and a willingness to say, Lord, no matter what it means, no matter what it takes, I'm your man, I'm your woman. A young 14-year-old girl playing up on the worship team. The young people, guys, old people. Anybody here older than 80? Nobody's going to raise their hand. Some of you might be liars. All right. Larry's almost 80. He's dead. Good friend. Oh, my gosh. We've seen a lot of kingdom of God together. Why don't we do this? Why don't we respond to God? Now, I believe God's speaking. Don't harden your heart. Don't say, I'm mad at God. Don't say, God's passed me over. This is a day when God's saying, I want you to be aware that your sin has separated you and God. But God has never abandoned you. You've abandoned God. And God's saying, my destiny for you has never walked away. This is a time for young people especially to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to embrace your will. How many of you know this is the right thing to do? Why don't we all just pray? Father, right now, Lord, our hearts, Lord, we want that. Lord, we've been here before. God, I trust that you would break down the wall of separation where Satan has lied to us, where he's hidden what, God, you want us to do. And I pray for a spirit of revelation. I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to begin to realign, reassign. And God, you begin to confirm the call and destiny over every man, every woman, every child in this room. And God, I speak release over to your people in Jesus' name, like Isaiah. Lord, here am I, send me. Now, God, this is a time when you need to, in your heart of hearts, not because anybody's watching, I'm not going to ask you to respond, to raise a hand, but this is what you need to do is say, Lord, here am I. I can't change the past, but I can, from this day forward, walk into what you've called me to be and spend the rest of my life devoting myself in preparation for what, God, you're doing next. God, we surrender. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.